What's up, my friend? Welcome. Christopher here. And I am, if it sounds like I'm not excited, I actually am. I'm super excited. I am in the midst of doing some praying and fasting. I'm literally on my knees looking at what the Holy Spirit gave me. And I'm going to be sharing this with you. My heartfelt prayer is that, well, you've probably heard me say it before. My heartfelt prayer is that you break free from invisible slavery to reach more people with integrity, ethically change lives, and bring God praise, honor, and glory without selling your soul to the enemy. So, Father, I thank you. Have your way, Lord, now and always. We offer this up to you. Such a way that brings you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you got your Bible. You're going to want to turn with me, my friend. Sound like a little Benny Hinn. Come, my friend, and pray with me, right? So Matthew chapter 17, verse 24, and we're going to go to 27. And what I'm going to tell you, my friend, is Jesus ain't broke. I'm going to say it again. You can say it with me. Jesus ain't broke. All right, Matthew chapter 17. Here we go. So I'm turning in my Bible right now. You're probably turning in your Bible. You might even already be there. So, first thing first. 17, verse 24. When they'd come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" A little bit of accusation there, right? He said, "Yes." And when he'd come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers?" Peter said to him, "From strangers." Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Go catch fish." Now, 1 Timothy, turn with me, chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 5, I mean, yeah, through 8, let me see here. So, yes, I'm actually going to look, I know it's in the New Testament, but I'm here looking, 1 Timothy chapter, let's see, 1699, here we go. So that's one of the great things, look. You don't need to be perfect. You just need to be open and available. And Holy Spirit will lead you and tell you what needs to be done. So 1699. Here we are. So 1 Timothy chapter 5. Okay. Through 8. Oh, excuse me. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. There we go. "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." My friend, when I first read that, I was like, holy smokes. It was pretty amazing. That had been in the Bible, and I had seen that. I had seen that for quite some time, I mean, going through the Bible, but yet it popped up. And then the question popped up, does that apply to you? And I thought to myself, of course, there were little accusations coming up from the enemy. But then I realized, you know, that's a very powerful scripture. So turn with me again to Ezekiel chapter 2 and 3. I feel like I'm preaching a sermon. In fact, I know I am. So Ezekiel chapter 2. All right, here we go. "And he said to me, 'Son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak to you.' Then the Spirit entered me. When he spoke to me and set me on my feet, I heard him who spoke to me and said to me, 'Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. They're impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, as for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them.'" Now, goes on, and you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you do not, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, the scroll of a book was in it. Then he spread it before me, and there was written on the inside and on the outside, and written on it were lamentations of and mourning and woe. Chapter 3. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey and in sweetness. Then he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of unfamiliar speech and of a hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their face, and your forehead strong against their forehead, like adamant stone, harder than flint. I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, receive into your heart all the words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears, and go, get to the captives, to the children of your people, and speak to them, and tell them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or whether they refuse. Then his spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a great thunderous voice. Blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place. I also heard the noise of wings, of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels beside them, and a great thunderous noise. So the spirit lifted me up, and took me away, and I went in bitterness and the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to the captives at Tel Aviv, who dwelt by the river Chebar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. Now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth, and give them warning for me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous man should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. Then the hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, arise, go out into the plain, and there I shall talk with you. So I rose and went out into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there like the glory which I saw by the river Chebar. And I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet and spoke with me and said to me, go, shut yourself inside your house. And you, son of man, surely they will put ropes on you and bind you with them so that you cannot go out among them. I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth so that you shall be mute and not be one to rebuke them. For they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with you, I will open your mouth and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, he who hears, let him hear. And he who refuses, let him refuse. For they are a rebellious house. Now, that is quite a bit to take. But if I may just kind of boil it down just in a nutshell, the Lord is saying, look, I'm sending you to these folks, and they're not going to receive you. But when I send you, if you tell them what I tell you to tell them, I'm not going to hold you accountable if they screw up. But if you go, if you don't go and you don't tell them, if they mess up, I'm going to hold you accountable. It's going to be your butt on the line. So it's pretty intense. It's pretty powerful. And the Lord's saying, you've been entrusted with something, and it's time to do something with it. All right, Proverbs chapter 9. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 9. That's right after the book of Psalms. All right, you can tell I've been in the book of Proverbs a little bit. Proverbs chapter 9. Here we go. So I hope you're enjoying this, hoping you get some value out of this. Again, I would encourage you to come back and to go through the material again. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8 through 9. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Okay. Do not correct a scoffer. Okay. People who are ready for change will listen to truth and will receive it. When people don't, they're a scoffer. And it says, do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. So when he corrects somebody, if they appreciate it and they receive it, right there it's saying, they're a wise man. Give instruction to a wise man and he'll still be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Now think about that. That goes from what I was just sharing with you. In this word, it talks about being sent to people and they won't receive it. And he's saying that the people who do, they're wise. So you're able to tell the difference between those who are wise and those who are unwise. Those who are scoffers, those who are fools. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. And again, all this stuff is stuff that the Holy Spirit shared with me one time. I wrote it all down and I'm actually coming back through to let it come out right now. And so I'm just thankful for it. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he has no sorrow with it. Okay? The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he has no sorrow with it. So think about that. What comes easy to you? What comes really natural to you? And have you ever heard, if it's too good to be true, it can't be true? Have you ever heard that it has to be tough? It has to be hard, or it's not worth having? And if you have, that's a downright lie. Because the Bible says here, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. He adds no sorrow with it. So think about that. Think about what you're doing when you're operating in your gifts, talents, and abilities. It comes easy. It comes natural. And yet the enemy would have people believe that it's worthless, that it's not worthwhile, and that it has no value. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 29. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. I'm going to read this again. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. Now think about this. Okay, I was going to skip on, but I feel like the Lord wants me to share and kind of expand upon that. So the way of the Lord is strength for the upright. Strength, power, tenacity, endurance, enthusiasm, vigor, stamina, compared to the exact opposite of which the enemy would love for people to do. Think about that. You're operating in your gifts, talents, and abilities, your strengths, the way the Lord is strength for the upright. Okay? You can't make this stuff up. It's in the Bible. It's pretty powerful. Proverbs 12, verse 26. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. You know what? I'm looking, but that's not the one that I want. I'm going to read it, though, because it's there. It says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way the wicked leads them astray. All right. This is an example of listening to the Holy Spirit. I wrote it down, and I actually wrote down another scripture talking about people will curse those who withhold the grain, but blessing will be upon the head and the son of it. So let's talk about the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way the wicked leads them astray. As you're endeavoring about our Father's business, it's going to require a purposeful decision to avoid people who are idiots and fools. Otherwise, right here, for the way the wicked leads them astray, which means limiting the amount of time that you spend with people. It makes much more sense. It's much wiser to be selective of where you sow your seed, because the Bible says not to cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample it and turn and rend you, attack you, right? So to think about that. Now, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 2. It says, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. Now, I'm reading that to you right now. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. So if we think about that, you eat well by the fruit of your mouth. I'm actually speaking right now. I'm recording this on my iPhone. I'm going to take this. I'm going to use this as an audio. I'm going to use this, probably convert this into a book. I'm going to convert this maybe into other forms of documentation. And it says, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. So I'm literally demonstrating to you by example how I'm taking that which God has given to me. Remember, we read in the book of Ezekiel, and I'm sharing it. And there's going to be people who don't receive it. Those are the scoffers, and there'll be people who do. And if you're sitting here listening to this, you're one of the wise people. Because there are folks who would just shut it off and turn it. Hopefully, eventually, maybe they'll come back and they'll be ready to receive. But it's kind of how the kingdom of God works. I want to share with you, because I've got this highlighted in my Bible. It's Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14. It says, a man will be satisfied with the good, with good by the fruit of his mouth. Which ties into what I just shared with you. And a recompense of a man's hands will be rendered unto him. So we use our mouth and our hands. Again, in the Bible, it says, a man sows, so shall he reap. All right. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14. Ah, look, see? I actually had it written down. So I came back to it. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20. Again, that's just another example why it's so important to listen to the Holy Spirit. He was leading me there, even though there, some of the stuff was not being seen, was being missed. Okay, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Again, here it's saying again, our mouth. Now, let me ask you. When folks go into school, right, they go in young, hungry, motivated, happy, eager, excited, okay, for the most part, ready to learn, raising their hand. Fast forward a few years, what are most people not doing? They're not really wanting to ask questions. They're not really wanting to stand up. They're not really wanting to talk. They just want to, essentially, they've been pretty much conditioned to shut up, to sit down, do what they're told because they're not good enough and not smart enough. When in the Bible it says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. So if the enemy can get people to not speak and to not talk, guess what? They're not going to be satisfied from the fruit of their mouth or from the produce of their lips. They're not going to be filled. And so that's why it's so important that what is being shared with you now and how powerful it is. All right. Proverbs chapter 24 through 26. I think it's Proverbs chapter 24, 26. Okay, here it is. Yep, it's Proverbs chapter 24, verse 26. He who gives a right answer kisses the lips. So you give a right answer, you're speaking, right? Or you're using your hands to prepare. Okay, kisses the lips. So you're blessing somebody. You're greeting somebody. You're transferring warmth, kindness, love. God's blessing to people when you give the right answer. And it comes from the lips. Okay, think about that. Yes, you can take it and you can write it down, but it's coming from the lips. It's very powerful. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18. All right, we're going to go back to 1 Timothy. Woo! Praise God. I just turned the Bible and I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 4, but I'm going to go to 5. Thank you, Lord. I love this scripture. It says, for the scripture says, again, I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18. It says, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. So consider this, an ox is attached to equipment, pulls big carts, heavy weight, but an ox is pretty large, and it does so pretty much effortlessly. So you can imagine, when the ox is treading out the grain, when it's going around in circles, moving this big heavy stuff to take the grain and to make it into fine meal, it might get a little bit hungry, just like we get hungry when we're working. So it says, don't muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, saying, hey,
the ox is eating. Excuse me, the ox is doing work. Let it eat and feed itself so it can keep doing work and producing the grain. While it treads out the grain. And it says the laborer is worthy of his wages. So it's the same thing with us. When we're walking in, doing those things that God has given to us, those things that come effortless, those things that come really easy, those gifts, those talents and abilities, that we are worthy of our wages, right? We are worthy of our wages. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's just that many people have been taught to not receive. And that's why when I say Jesus ain't broke, there's only broken people. The Bible says, I wish that you prosper even as your soul prospers. So here we go. John chapter 10, verse 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right. So, Christopher, why are you so calm and peaceful as you're teaching right now? Aren't you concerned about being perfect? And the answer is no. Because those who have ears to hear and eyes to see are going to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to them. They're going to feel the heart, they're going to hear the heart, and they're going to receive it. And those who don't will not. John chapter 10, verse 10. You know what? I think I might be in 1 John. That's different. But this is actually what I opened up to, and I probably should share with you. In John chapter 10, verse 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's why I'm so confident. That's why I'm so confident. So what the world would say was a mistake, the Holy Spirit is taking me through as I'm sharing this and guiding you through this walk, this tour, if you will. So I'm looking for 1 John 17:46. All right. 17:46. So the Marine Corps used to say, back in 1775, my Marine Corps came alive. First there came the color blue, show the world that we were true. Oh yeah. Aha. All right. So it says John chapter 10, verse 10. And I'm looking in John. The scripture that I'm looking to share with you, it says that Jesus came so we might have life and have life more abundantly. You know what? I'm actually in the right chapter. It is 10. It's John chapter 10, verse 10. It's right after, it's the second part. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Okay, I'm going to read again. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. It's very, very powerful. Joshua chapter 22. Joshua. I think that somewhere is after Deuteronomy. Yep. Just took a wild guess. Joshua chapter 22. Verse 4 through 6. Okay. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brethren, as he promised them. Now, therefore, return and go to your tents and to the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of Jordan. This is important. But take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. So think about that. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brethren as he promised. Now therefore return and go to your tents and to the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But the Lord is saying, go there, go take what I've given to you. But remember, when you go there, I've given you some instruction. I've given you some guidelines. And I'm kind of paraphrasing, but what he's saying is, I've given it to you for your own good. Remember to do these things and to honor these things and to follow this stuff. Because if not, there's going to be problems. Right? One of my mentors, Prophet Kim Clement, will always talk about, it says, decision make descendants. And it's so true. The Bible says, as a man sows, so shall he reap. Okay, I'm going to go back to Genesis. I'm in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. verse 27. All the way back. Verse 27 to 29. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Be fruitful and multiply, not have nothing and lack." Quite different. Think about that. Every time you start looking at thoughts that come in, is it about being fruitful and multiplying, or is it about lack? Is it about abundance or lack? Poverty is not enough. Poverty is lack. And Jesus ain't broke. Genesis chapter 9, verse 7. So, here we go on the road again. We're moving up and we're moving in. The promised land, it's called my name. I'm going in. I'll never be the same. All right. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. Okay? So the Lord has said it in the beginning. So how in the world did it ever get to this place? My friends, the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It was the same thing when God was using me to help people make a lot of money online. And then you stop and you say, why in the world are you helping everybody else out, but you're not helping yourself? And it comes down to two things, a lack of revelation of Jesus Christ and a lack of revelation of identity in Jesus Christ. And now you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So hang on here. We're almost done. We're almost done here. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. All right. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. All right. 1666. Here we go. 1666. All right. This is good. Here we go. 1666. Now, just a little trick. I mention it and I speak it out loud because then I hear it and I'm able to recall it much easier. So Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Alrighty. Do not be deceived. I'm going to say it again. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. Okay, I'm going to say it again. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Turn back here, find out Philippians. Here we are. 1681. And I'm going to be sure in here. Here we go. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Oh, there it is. Okay. Just today, within the last 24 hours, I heard this same scripture. And I was told, somebody was teaching it. I think the gentleman's name is, I think his name was Labin. I think that's who it was. It says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." I'm going to say this again. "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." God supplies. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. All right, 1 Corinthians. Okay, here we go. Chapter 2, verse 9. As I'm going through my Bible, it's all sorts of underlining and drawings and writings and all sorts of fun stuff. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Does not having enough sound like that's what God's plan is for any of his children? And the answer is, not even close. You already know that if there's not enough, that's not God's plan. That's a result of ignorance. That's the result of ignorance and or disobedience. How do we know that? Be not deceived, for that which soever man sows, that he will also reap. Matthew chapter 10. We're getting very close to wrapping this up here. Matthew chapter 10, verse 26 through 42. Okay. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. Whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. You do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. All right, we're going. That was Matthew chapter 26, chapter 10, verse 26 to 42. So John, chapter 4, verse 32. And I think we're in that John, the first John, right, without the number one. So just John, right? John 4, 32. This is pretty powerful. Okay? This is very, very powerful. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. This is when Jesus was talking to them. Okay? I'm going to continue on here. But first, we're going to go to Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke chapter 4, verse 39. Nope, Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Here we go. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? I'm going to say this again. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Okay, now I'm going to read John chapter 4, verse 35 through 38. Okay, I'm actually going to start in verse 34. Jesus said to him, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. His work, his business. Do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Okay? And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. Now, we're going to break this down really quick, okay? Do you not say there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest, right? You've probably heard it before. Maybe you might have said it yourself. You know, when the glory of God, revival comes and, you know, all this stuff and it's going to come and it's going to come. God is saying right here in the Bible, Jesus, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest, right? People are essentially saying, look, you're saying that the harvest is 4 months from now. Okay? This is what he says. This is what Jesus says to that. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. So he's saying, no. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. So he's saying, change your focus. People focus based upon what they're thinking. So change the focus, change what you're looking at, change what you're thinking, and look at the fields. Folks who say that the harvest is not out there, they're looking at the wrong stuff. If somebody thinks that the harvest is not ready, then a farmer will not be out there. It will not be out there harvesting the crops, which means that the crops will go to waste, which means that the family is probably going to not be benefited, which means a lot of people are not also going to be benefited, okay? The fields, and look at the fields, for they're already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages, okay? Listen, and he who reaps receives wages. The fields are already there. You enter in and you reap. You reap, okay? Well, but you haven't sown. Oh, here we go. And gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. Okay, there's always going to be sowing and reaping. Somebody sowed. The field's already there. The work has been done. It's time to go into the harvest. Well, that sounds too good to be true. It sounds like it can't be right. I'm just reading what the Bible says. Look, John chapter 4, verse 37. For in this the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. So going back to the whole thing again. If it sounds too good to be true, sounds too easy, can't be true, right? Wrong. Wrong. A lie from the pit of hell. A lie from the pit of hell. Now you understand why the Lord has had me share this with you, right? To set captives free, because your life will never, ever be the same, ever. John chapter 5, verse 8. I love this. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. Rise, take up your bed and walk. So now, guess what's happened, my friend? What's happened, my friend, is that you have been set free. And now the Lord is saying, it's time to get in the game. It's time to answer the call of God upon your life. That there's no more excuses, because you know Jesus ain't broke. And if there's things in anybody's life, yours, mine, that are not being done, it's not God's fault. Because Jesus ain't broke. So now, I say again, John chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1 through 6. We're pretty close to wrapping it up. The Spirit of, I'm in Isaiah chapter 61, but I must read this to you. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance to our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and see their and feed your flocks. And the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and I will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as the bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Now, That is pretty powerful, my friend. That is pretty powerful. I hope, I pray that you receive that which was spoken, because that is our beck and call. That is our battle cry. And it is super, super powerful. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1 through 6. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. I'm going to read this again. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. My friends, what I just shared with you, God gave me something in addition to what I've just shared with you already. It's called the Seven Pillars to Massive Marketplace Ministry. The Seven Pillars to Massive Marketplace Ministry. And I want to invite you, if you've enjoyed this, if you feel like the Lord has blessed you, and I'm not talking about a bearded Marine running his mouth, or you're reading my words, or however it is that you're processing it, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you feel as though God has spoken to you and that you're getting and experiencing breakthrough, then I want to invite you to continue this journey. Because if you've enjoyed this, I'm telling you, you will enjoy the Seven Pillars of Massive Marketplace Ministry. And here's how you can get your hands on that. So what I want you to do is you can go to JesusAintBroke.com/harvest. JesusAintBroke.com/harvest. I'm going to say it again. JesusAintBroke.com/harvest. And you'll be able to get access to what I believe is a Holy Spirit inspired training. So I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you. And again, my fervent prayer is that you break free from invisible slavery to answer the call of God upon your life, so you can reach more people with integrity, ethically change lives, bring God praise, honor, and glory without ever selling your soul to the enemy. Until next time, I'm Christopher Clark, and Jesus ain't broke.